So there's a painting by Rembrandt of the last scene of this parable, the actual return of the lost son. In the painting, all the roles of the parable are there. The son is on his knees, begging forgiveness. The father is standing with his hands on the son's shoulders with a look of love. The elder son is looking on with disgust, among other emotions. And the others are represented almost invisibly with what I think is a look of detachment. Sometimes a picture speaks a thousand words, like the length of most of my homilies. So if you don't like this homily, you can try Rembrandt's reflection. See if you get more out of that. Or you can spend even more time, and a lot more than a thousand words, reflecting on this story, if you want to, by reading Father Henry Nouwen's book, which I recommend, The Return of the Prodigal Son. It's a long meditation on Rembrandt's painting and what it meant to Father Nouwen. If you Google the book, not now, later, you can see the painting as the book cover. Today's reading is so familiar that we think we've heard it all regarding it. We've heard all the different ways it can be interpreted, but I just want to lay this out for you. The parable offers us three models for Christians. We can be the elder son, full of righteousness and a hard heart. We can be the lost son, who went so far as to effectively say to his father, "I wish you were dead," when he asked for his inheritance, as this was usually passed on upon the father's passing. Then we can also act as the lost son by turning our back on the father and live our lives in complete disregard of the love and riches the father has to offer us. We can also, and this is much harder, try to emulate the father, who we can imagine was likely devastated by both his son's behaviors, but he continues to show mercy and forgiveness. And remember, he runs out to meet his son. In dramas, there are three types of main characters: the hero or heroine, the protagonist, around whom the story revolves. And then there's an anti-hero, the antagonist, who creates a conflict which the hero attempts to resolve, and the supporting characters who contribute to the events that lead up to the conflict. Well, who's the hero? It should be obvious, but let's just look at where this parable lies within the Gospel of Luke. This parable follows the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin. And so this follows that. So in the first two cases, the parables of the heroes of the parables are clear. The man who lost his sheep, the woman who lost her coin, and in this parable, it's the father who lost his son. But who's the anti-hero? What conflict is trying to be resolved here? Well, there is no conflict anymore for the younger son. He's been found, forgiven, and is celebrated. On the other hand, the elder son, the dutiful son, is the one who is still outside the home, out of the celebration, unable to respond to the love of the father, just like us sometimes. Sometimes we forget that Jesus doesn't come to us to have God change his mind about us. He comes to us to have us change our mind about God, to change the way that we respond to him. This parable reminds us that when we sin, we can come back to the Father, for he will forgive us. No sin is too great, even that of trying to deny God's existence, like the younger son did when he turned his back on his father. But specifically, when we are full of the sin of pride, when we are the self-righteous, judgmental, hard-hearted son, which is sometimes harder to detect, it's often hidden under layers of justification, we can let go of all that and come in and join the feast with the Father who gave his only son so that we might have life and live abundantly. Amen.